Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergence zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of Conscious Cool Chic Radio. I am your host, Molly McCord, and I appreciate you being here today. We're going to have a wonderful conversation about conscious parenting with my special guest, Erica Elmets. So be ready to take some good notes. Also, Erica has a free offer to share with you about how to support and work with your children or child in the most supportive way right now. So a lot of good things coming from today's show. As always, I'd like to start with a few general announcements and updates. We are already in February, if you can believe it. There was a lot of intense energies coming up towards the end of January. So if you are feeling that, any kind of waves or completions or cycles ending, that was a big theme for January, and we are moving into some powerful months ahead. April is actually one of the biggest months of the year. So I'm going to be sharing more about the energies of this year in upcoming episodes. But I just wanted to let you know what's on the map here because it helps when you're planning projects, when you're, you know, just getting things on your calendar and moving through life. It's a big year, and we're going to experience a lot of incredible growth. I have a quick announcement as well around a project that is being released very soon. I've been hinting at this project for a few weeks now, and we had to press pause on our launch for a few behind-the-scenes reasons, but I have information on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. And you will see there that this new project, it's four mastery courses, and it's all about rock and roll meets spirit and soul. And I'm going to share more with you soon, but just go check out ConsciousCoolChic.com. You'll see it on the blog, what I'm talking about. And I'm being a little bit quiet about this right now because we're going to have some new things coming out. And this is like the soft release, and we're going to give you a big launch very soon. But for those of you who have been patient, thank you for waiting, and you can check out what's been going on behind the curtain on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Let's see, what else do we have going on? I was recently on Psychic Cowgirl Shannon Lackman's show, and we talked all about the energies of February. So please check that out if you're looking for the astrology of this month, what the big days are, how to plan your month. Overall, I feel that February is a little bit of a quieter month. However, it's requiring us to shuffle things around and reprioritize. Mercury retrograde is going to be strong for most of the month, and it's a good time to just look at what is really important to you right now and what you want to take forward into this year. So listen to that show. It's on her station on Blog Talk Radio, the Psychic Cowgirl Radio Show, and you'll get a lot of good information, some good scoop. So I'm very excited to introduce you to today's guest, Erica Elmas. She is the founder of ConsciousParents.org. You can click on over there as we're speaking, ConsciousParents.org. And she is a speaker, writer, and naturopathic practitioner. Erica is regularly featured as a parenting expert on San Diego News 6 and Fox 5 in San Diego, and has also appeared on The Ricky Lake Show. Erica is trained in clinical nutrition, biofeedback, essential oils, homeopath, vibrational medicine, kinesiology, flower essence, color therapy, and energy psychology. Erica has a BA from Harvard and an MBA from Babson College. She is passionate about supporting parents on the journey of raising physically, emotionally, and spiritually healthy children. And I'm so happy she's here today. Hi, Erica. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Molly. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You have such an impressive background, and you bring a lot of expertise from different areas into your offerings and sessions with parents. So I think that you are such a great expert for this audience.
Well, thank you so much. It's so funny because for so long, everyone was always asking me, like, what are you? How do you describe yourself? And I always basically tell people that I kind of created my own career out of my passions in life, and it's really been a journey of following my heart and my life's purpose to get to where I am today. So it's so exciting to be here and be able to share with your amazing listeners, you know, the work that I do and how I work with families and how we can really help raise our children to be, you know, the shining lights that they're intended to be.
Absolutely. And it's really needed right now in these new energies and with all the shifts we're moving through, because obviously we as adults are feeling these shifts, but so are the kids, and they need support. And, you know, I think it's a great time to be able to offer that to both parents and kiddos. It's just so needed. You're filling a really important role here.
Well, thank you. I mean, I know you obviously, Molly, I know that you work a lot with your clients who are parents, helping to understand their children. And I just love to hear that, you know, that's a huge part of conscious parenting, is truly understanding our children really at a soul and a heart level, as opposed to, you know, from the ego. And you're such an amazing resource for parents to be able to really help tune in and help understand their children in a better way. So I love the work that you do.
Well, thank you, Erica. I appreciate that. And I like to give full disclosure here and let people know that I am not a parent myself, but I do work with parents, as Erica said, and I do astrology sessions for their kids and directly with kids of all ages. And so I have this younger demographic that I connect with, even if it's not personally, it's professionally. But I like to offer that because it certainly makes a difference in knowing where I'm coming from and where you're coming from, and how people listening can relate to what we're sharing. So what I would love to know, Erica, is how did you get started doing this work? What drew you to it?
Well, like many people, I went out of college. I went the corporate route, and I was doing a lot of work in the marketing profession with a lot of technology companies. And then I had a personal experience where I came up with a health condition, and long story short, I got introduced to the field of natural healing, naturopathy, and it just ignited a passion within me. And several years later, I found myself in a situation in my life where I just felt a real calling to be able to help people with the knowledge that I had from a natural healing perspective, and I ended up, you know, abandoning my old career and going back to school and completely changing my path. And what was interesting is as I started my practice with my clients, you know, so many times people would come to me with a health condition. You know, maybe they had diabetes, or maybe they had migraines or PMS or whatever it happened to be. And people would come to me for a physical ailment, but very quickly the conversation would turn into what's going on in their life emotionally and spiritually, because as we've all heard, that stress and emotions play a huge part in our physical health. And through a lot of the work that I do and some of the sessions I do, I can really tap into what's going on in the body that precipitated the imbalance that led to the physical ailment. Because everything in the body starts on an energetic level first, any sort of imbalance. And if we leave it untreated, then eventually it will progress to a physical ailment. So when I was doing the work with clients, this became so clear. And obviously at the time, I was a relatively brand new mother. And I just had this real calling to, you know, work with parents to help their children so that we're not unwinding so much later down the road, you know, where it's like, gosh, if we're aware of this stuff now and how what happens when we're young impacts our health when we're older, how great to be able to help parents know this and help give their kids basically like a leg up, if you will.
Beautifully explained. Yes, that makes all kinds of sense on a few levels. And we need to know that those options and those approaches are available. So this is, it's fantastic that you have this expertise. I mentioned at the beginning when we first got started that you were going to share with people a free offer, and I'm going to get to that. We're going to get to that a little bit later. But I want people to know that, you know, Erica is here to really help you tap into anything that's going on with your child and to get to the heart of it. And so just know that she can provide some guidance for you and directly direct you in the right channel for a solution. So we're going to get into that a little bit more in the show, but if you're tuning in for the free offer, know that you haven't missed anything and that's coming. So Erica, can you tell us what is conscious parenting? How do you describe that?
So I think the simplest way to describe conscious parenting is really learning and understanding that we're connecting to our children through our heart center as opposed to from our ego. And what that also means is being really thoughtful and deliberate with how we're choosing to parent our children as opposed to kind of just doing it the way it's been done before, because there's so much that we learn and know about the development of consciousness in children, and science is showing this more and more in terms of brain development and how everything works. And it's really about tapping into who our child is here to be for themselves and not necessarily who we want them to be. I think a lot of us have grown up in the paradigm of, you know, I'm your parent, you need to obey me because I'm your parent. And that's just the way that it is. And a lot of times, I'm sure we see it all around us, is there's a lot of parents that are living through their children. You know, the parent that has the child in sports and they're really pushing them really hard. But is that really what the child wants to do? There's a real need, I think, I've been feeling so much, and everyone can feel it, is the need to really connect from the heart. I think we've lost that as a culture. We're so achievement-oriented and all that. So conscious parenting is really all about being deliberate and thoughtful and understanding that our child is not our property, if you will. It's not like we're their boss and it's a hierarchical, authoritative type relationship, but we're actually a spiritual partnership with our child. So how can we nurture them for who they're supposed to be, and how can we support them the best way we can through their journey as their parents?
Beautiful. And you raised a lot of really important points there, one of which is the connection to the child and to their own energy, their own gifts. How do parents unknowingly contribute to losing that connection?
Well, I'll just give a really easy example, because I think everyone's seen this happen and probably has experienced this before in their life. So we've all been in that circumstance where, you know, maybe if you're a parent or if you've been with someone who is a parent, that the parent's maybe holding a young child, a toddler, and the parent, you know, talking to another adult or something, and then the parent says, hey, Johnny, will you say hi to so-and-so? Like say hi or give them a hug or a kiss or something, and the child kind of shrinks back and like doesn't say anything. And then a lot of times parents are sort of embarrassed by that because they think, oh my gosh, my child's being kind of rude. I need to teach them to say hello or to say be polite in that moment. But what's fascinating is that children, especially when they're really young, they're so connected to energy. They feel everything. They don't understand it on an intellectual level yet or even on a conscious level, but they feel it nonetheless. And so sometimes when a child meets a new person, it's like they're not feeling comfortable. And so by us making our child say something like, you know, you need to say hello or you need to give that person a hug and that child's not feeling it, we're not honoring their internal guidance system. And that is something that's so important with the program that I have, is teaching children to listen to their own internal guidance system as opposed to seeking somebody else from the outside to tell them what to do. So in that example alone, that's people, parents unknowingly are teaching their child that it doesn't matter what you feel inside, what matters is what other people think about you.
How powerful is that? That is a great example, because I think that it's such an unconscious conditioning. You know, it's about having the right, you know, etiquette and being socially acceptable, and this is what you do in public. But kids these days have such a different vibration, and they are tuned in, and they are aware, and they are reading things. I remember I was at my husband's holiday party, and the kids kept staring at me, and I would get down at their level and talk with them and hold their hand. I had this one little girl who just held on to my hand for maybe, I don't know, 2 minutes, and her dad was just awe. He's like, she never does that. She never talks to strangers. And I knew it was because I could see her and she could see me. It was an energetic connection that she just didn't have in her life. And I find that it's something about kids that is so unique these days, and the generation is so special.
Oh, my gosh. I got the chills when you were telling that story, because that is so true. I mean, children especially, they can see, they can sense energies, they can see light, they see auras, they see these things that, because they're still so connected to source energy. And it's amazing how you'll even see it, like, children will gravitate towards somebody like yourself who is open and clear and, like, genuinely connecting from the heart. They are attracted to the heart energy. And the children right now are so sensitive and really aware, and they're really here. You know, there's a lot of work about this in terms of indigo children, rainbow children, and crystal children. But the idea is that they're here really to help raise the consciousness of the planet and to help be our teachers. And I think the more that parents understand that that's really their role, the more that we can really grow together in that spiritual partnership.
Yes, and there's something about being able to observe them and what they do. And so who are your children or your child? Who are they drawn to? Or even if you're in the supermarket, is there someone they're really looking at, or are they connecting on some level? Just observing how they interact with their environment can be very revealing about their energy and what they're picking up on. Even if you don't understand it, you know, mentally, there's something there intuitively and energetically, like you just said, Erica, that's really a powerful message.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. There's a woman named Barbara Brennan who's written a book called The Hands of Light, and she talks a lot about the chakras and the development of our energy systems and our aura. And she writes a lot about how children, when they're first born, their energy is they're completely pure, and it's the first time that they're sort of open and vulnerable to energies around them. And so that's why you'll often see children will, like, kind of hunker down in the laps of their parent, because they're literally being held in the energetic field by the parent's energy field. It's a protective field for them. And I remember even when my daughter was little, and I've heard a lot of parents talk about this as well, is like when I would be holding her, she was a newborn, she was fixated on this energy like behind me. She wasn't looking at me, but it was like fully on the energy. And, you know, she, as my daughter now is about to be 9, but when she was younger, she would talk regularly about the people that she would see in our home or, like, driving in the car. She'd talk about the lady who was sitting in the car with us. And, you know, I think children are so connected. Everyone's always heard about, oh, every child has an imaginary friend. But I think a lot of times parents shut that down. And it's really important to nurture that and to allow it.
Yes.
And to not have them shut it down, because they feel it and they know it. And there's so much to, you know, children.
And go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, you know, I know, like, my daughter was never, she didn't cry very much as a baby. She was not one of these really fussy babies. But there was one time that I had to pick up this colleague of mine from the airport, and she was under a year old at this point. And I did not like this man at all. He just had a really funky energy, and I didn't like him. And she wouldn't stop screaming the entire car ride because she could feel it from me. So anyway, so they're very much mirrors of what's going on with us, and they can sense things much more than we think. They're not definitely not an empty, like a tabula rasa, if you will. They're little souls
right.
that are here to engage with us. And even though they're in little bodies, their soul has been around a long time. So they're seeing everything through that lens.
And you mentioned how we can unconsciously or even unintentionally shut down a child who wants to talk about their invisible friend. And instead, another approach would be to open them up and say, well, can you describe what they look like or what do they smell like or what's their favorite color? It's like there's an opportunity there to engage in that world.
Oh, for sure. The best thing I always advise parents, you know, especially parents of really young children, is, oh, just wait till they start talking. You're going to be amazed at what comes out of their mouth. And the best way to do that is to just ask questions. You know, and Molly, I know I was talking to you before the show about a story that my daughter told me when she was just 2.5, where she actually told me about her birth. And this is a great example of that. And in fact, I even wrote a blog post about it a couple years ago. I'd forgotten I had done that, but I actually documented the conversation because we were driving in the car, and she's 2.5. She's in the back sitting in the car seat. And the next thing you know, she basically says, Mommy, do you remember when I was a baby in your tummy? And she started the conversation. I said, oh, yeah. I said, tell me about that. What was that like for you? And then it started this whole conversation where she started telling me about her birth and all this stuff. And it was one of those where I almost was trying not to drive off the road because I was having one of those moments where I just wanted to capture it. I wish I had it on, you know, on audio, but it was pretty incredible. And so I think for parents, just by continuing to ask questions and you know, not leading questions like, oh, was it like this or was it like this? Just literally say, oh, and then what happened? Oh, and then what happened? And tell me more. And it's amazing what the children will continue to say.
That is just fascinating that she remembers her own birth. I got chills again when you first mentioned that story to me. I got chills and I got it again because what a powerful conscious memory. I mean, I think that's just so rare in the fact that that could be recalled into your conscious memory. What a gift. I mean, it's almost like it leaves you speechless.
I know.
Speaking for myself, it leaves me speechless because that is amazing insight. And how old is your daughter now?
She's about to be 9 next month. So she's, from a consciousness perspective, she's past the age of, like up until about age 7, children's energy fields and their auras are a little bit more vulnerable. But once they get to be about 7, which is exactly around the same age as the beginning of the development of conscious thought, they start to get a little bit more sort of protected, and they're not as vulnerable to outside negative energies around them or just like negative environments. I mean, we've all been where we walk into the room and it doesn't feel right. Well, children are especially sensitive to that. So I think as parents, we need to understand, like, we might be in a hurry. I see so often, like, parents, they're in a hurry and their child's upset or they're scared, and it's like they just want to do whatever they want to do, but instead it's really truly about taking a pause and trying to honor where your child is at, and that they may be experiencing something you're totally not, and that builds such trust over the long term. And I think that's a lot of what's sort of missing from families these days, is we're all so busy, we all have these things we're trying to do, but really taking the time to be present with our children. I've seen it with my child. It just makes a massive difference. And some of the families I work with, too, it's like when they kind of just slow down and they actually are present with what their child is experiencing and being a partner to them instead of the parent in a way, makes a big difference.
That is a great reminder, Erica, because we are so busy and our lives are filled with a lot of stimuli. On that note, what are some of the challenges that more spiritual parents face when raising their children?
Well, I think it really boils down to sort of the old paradigm. You know, I like to say, like, one of the biggest principles that I teach with the families I work with and in my programs is and conscious parenting in general is to really prioritize the relationship with your child over the behavior. So what does that mean? That means like in the moment when your child is talking back at you or something, for example, or they're having a temper tantrum. So often people are so concerned about fixing the behavior that they're not looking at the reason for the behavior. And so what that does is like is that forms a disconnect between parent and child. It's like trying to simplify it in a way that can be a little clearer. But I think the biggest challenge is that like people that are embracing this form of parenting, like I know for me, I have a certain way that I parent. And other people that observe me, whether it be my family members, whether it be my close friends, whether it be my neighbors, whatever it is, sometimes my daughter will do something or say something, or they'll look at me like, aren't you going to do something about that? And they don't understand. So I think that's, and that's one of the biggest challenges that the families I work with face, is that when they're starting to implement, it's really a paradigm shift, but when they're starting to implement the new way of approaching their parenting, really focusing on their relationship and connection with their child as opposed to fixing their outward behavior, that they face a lot of backlash from people around them. And I always say the most stressful time as a parent is when you're parenting with an audience. You know, the mother-in-law is visiting, and all of a sudden you feel these eyes on you, and you parent differently than you normally do. So that's kind of one of the things that I think is the biggest challenge, because parents who really emphasize, like when my daughter, for example, like if she's upset and she says something to me or she sort of talks back to me, rather than saying, you shouldn't talk to me like that, I'm your mother, that's not okay. In the moment, obviously if she's talking back to me, she's not feeling connected to me, or she's upset, or she's scared, or she's tired. For whatever reason, she's not being her normal self. That in that moment, that's not the time to put down the hammer and say, that behavior is not okay, like go to your room. In that moment, she's clearly already not connected and not feeling well. So my job is to first establish the connection. It doesn't mean I ignore the behavior. It means I don't handle it right then, and I deal with it later. But when, for example, somebody's over visiting and she does something and they don't see me actually respond at that moment like the way that other people would respond, they look at me like, aren't you going to deal? Like, it's perceived as weak, and it's perceived as you're a weak parent. And I think that's the number one thing that so hard for parents facing, you know, that are trying to parent more this way. But it's important to stick to it, because the children, you know, your kids are worth it.
Absolutely. And you are such a good advocate and ally for parents in these situations who are looking to change this paradigm, who are looking to establish a new way, a new connection with their child. And that is something that you offer in your sessions and your consultations with parents, is how to handle those situations, how to approach them, you know, to remember what your priorities are, all that good stuff. So I just want to let people know that on Erica's website, consciousparents.org, she offers one-on-one sessions. If you are resonating with these experiences, and if you need a little help in how to navigate them, you know, I think there's a lot of value in knowing that it's like someone like Erica is on your team and knows how to help you through them. So I just have to give a quick plug for you there, Erica.
Well, thanks, Molly. I appreciate that. But I think the number one thing for parents is, it's funny because when the families I work with, it's almost like they didn't know they were looking for the type of work that I do until they engaged with it. And then they were like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I've been looking for. Because, you know, I'm not a therapist. I don't sit in a clinical therapy setting and work with husbands and wives or you know, families necessarily like that. I do work with both the mother and the father, with the families I work with, both parents on phone consults. And, you know, I use a combination of skill sets, but some of it's intuitive work and all that, but I'm able to see the dynamics going on in the family. And, you know, it's interesting because this one family I worked with, initially their 7-year-old daughter was really being defiant all the time. I mean, they came to me, they're like, oh, you just got to fix our child. She's just being defiant. And through our work together, it became very clear that, you know, the reasons why the child was behaving that way, because it was a total lack of connection, and the parents just didn't know what else to do. They just like, because it's like they were sort of in agreement with some things of how to parent, but then when it came to things that they didn't, they tried some things, and then they'd always just resort to how their parents parented them. And not that the way that our parents parented us is always bad, but it's just kind of like out of default, they don't know what to do. And so then there's just like no progress. But I think, you know, working with somebody like myself, what I've seen with the families is they really kind of get into alignment together as a team based on certain principles. And once they learn those principles and practice them over time, you know, they can start applying and their family completely shifts. And it's so rewarding to be able to see that and to see the children start to thrive and the families being more loving and connected. And, you know, everyone wants that, but a lot of people just don't know how to get there.
Right. Exactly. What a great service to provide. What a great way to work with the families and to make it adaptable for their needs and their dynamics and all those important parts of life, that in order for it to be successful, it has to really fit with people. And I think that mm-hmm. this is so needed right now. And as you were describing this, I could feel how people experienced light bulbs going off, you know, aha moments about this is, like you said, this is exactly what I need. This is the kind of support and guidance I've been looking for.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those you know, sometimes just having an audience and a neutral third party as part of the discussion is just so helpful. And someone that's not in a clinical, like, let's figure out what's wrong with you. Because I'm always so focused on creating a good vision for the future, setting intentions as opposed to let's just sit and talk about the problems. Like, I think it's important to shift the whole intention of the family, if you will. And it is a living, breathing organism, a family unit. I mean, there's different personalities. There's different things going on. And when one person's off, it'll throw off the dynamic. And so really being able to understand how everything works together, I think, is really valuable. And when you're in it, you can't see it for yourself. So that's why it's good to, you know, someone else who can observe from the outside and sort of see where things may shift. And I know that we're going to talk about some really fun ways that parents can help themselves and their children. But that's coming up in a little bit, so I'll keep that for
yes.
later.
That's right. So if you are just joining us, we are speaking with Erica Elmitz from ConsciousParents.org. That is her wonderful website. And we are discussing how you can work with your child in a way that supports their energy and that works with these new energies that we live in now. So Erica, we've talked about how special the children are and how their needs are essentially different and that they're very tuned in. What are some ways that we can help nurture our child's intuition?
Well, I think the first thing to do is to, first of all, just recognize that they are highly intuitive and highly connected and that it's not up to us to teach them. In fact, they're going to teach us. So like you said so eloquently just a little bit ago, by stepping back and observing your child, you're going to learn so much. So it's like they already get it, and they already know all these things far more than we do. So it's not like it's something we have to teach our child, because realistically, they're kind of teaching us. But one of the way that we can nurture it is to, again, continue to acknowledge when we notice things that they say or do where you can tell that something else is going on, something bigger is going on. For example, like I said with my daughter, we'd be driving in the car and she'd be talking about the lady who was sitting in the car next to us. And I would just have her describe the lady. What does she look like? Is she young? Is she old? And she was even talking about the little, you know, at one point, the little fairy that was sitting on her knee and that he was just hanging out with us. And so I think being observant of what they're talking about and not saying, oh, that's, you have such an imagination, or, oh, that's silly. Did you see that in a book somewhere? It's like just really trust that for them it's real, and so honoring that is huge, because that, again, builds a trust connection with you as the parent. And, you know, there's a great book that's actually, I love it, I highly recommend it. It's called Before I Got Here. I remember I read it when my daughter was newborn, basically, and it was written by, it was Blair Underwood, remember the actor from L.A. Law?
Yeah.
I'm dating myself by saying that show. But, many people know who Blair Underwood is, but he, long story short, when he had children with his wife, they noticed their children were really saying these things, and experiencing these things, and he got curious, and they created a website, basically, or created, hey, parents, have you ever had your kids say things that are amazing that make the hair on your arm stand up or the back of your neck? And they got all these people writing in these stories, and they put them all into a book. It's called Before I Got Here, and it is a heartwarming, incredible book of just these stories of children and being connected to, you know, the energies of past loved ones, or, you know, all of that stuff. So it's a really great, great little book to read, and it's full of all those types of stories. So I think, again, just having the awareness is just the key to this whole thing. And I'll tell you what can happen is, even as your child gets older, the more that you nurture this, I mean, it was probably 2 months ago that my daughter began to share with me about her choice to come here and be my child, and that she chose me as her mother. And she told me details about things that had happened in my life prior to her birth. And it was just one of those things where here she is at 8 years old still talking about it. And I guarantee if I had kind of shut it down or ignored it or been in a hurry and not really paid attention, she may not have shared that amazing experience with me.
Wow. And it's looking at where we are in our own human evolution right now, that we can hear these types of stories and know that they're real, right? And know that, okay, this is truth, that she's so tuned in and so connected, and that is one of her gifts. I mean, it's incredible how these children are bringing through these talents and gifts so easily, and that you're right, they're teaching us on so many levels, teaching us more about so many things that we can't even understand, because it's all new. It's part of their purpose, their soul purpose.
I know. So have you noticed with the families you've worked with during your reading, Molly, like parents that have highly intuitive children, and part of their role, like in terms of your readings, have you come across that?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I've noticed that the kids are actually energetically, they're so direct. You don't have to beat around the bush. You don't have to say things that might sound nice or something. It's like they just get right to the heart of something because their energy is so pure. And this can be startling for some parents because the parenting manuals or guides that they've read focus more on maybe even coddling or something to an extent. So the kids I work with, or the parents that I work with want to look at their child's energy. We talk about how you have to really show up in a very heart-opened, high-vibrating space, and this is the best way to connect with your child in a way that's going to be mutually satisfying for both of you. And that's new. Mm-hmm. That's certainly a new thing.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. I remember, you know, when my daughter was younger, and I think we've all been in this, I wrote a post about it on my site. I think I titled something like, if you want to break from your child, take it with your child. And it's a video I did. But it's basically, I remember when she was really little, I was always so present with her, but there was, you know, one time where I was, you know, I just wanted to send one email for work, and I had to do it. It was on a deadline for work, and she felt my angst. And she became extra clingy. And it was like, really? Like, I'm with you all the time. I'm so present with you. You like, right now you choose to, like, not let me out of your sight and be whiny and clingy. And it's, like, right at that moment where I most needed a break. And I stopped for a second, and I just said, wow, she's feeling my energy. And me, I'm the person who's her rock, her solid, her foundation that she trusts and more than anything. And I'm off, so it's making her uneasy. So she was mirroring my angst. And so what I did was I stopped and I just said, forget about that email. And I sat with her for about 10 minutes. I read her a story. I held her. I hugged her. I talked with her. And it was like then all of a sudden I was like at peace. And guess what? She let me write that email like 5 minutes later because she had had that connection time. So, you know, they really are connected and they are very direct. And they have a good BS meter, by the way. So parents,
right.
You know, don't BS your children. Don't at all. They sense it, even for when they're very little. And that's one thing I always do, too, is I say I bend over backwards to keep my promises and my word to my child because I want her more than anything to know she can count on me beyond anything because kids can feel it. Like, oh, yeah, we'll do that later. Yeah, let's do that later just to get them to stop asking for a toy in the store, or we'll get it for you later, and then they forget about it. Kids feel it and they know it, and then it impacts their trust and their connection with you from the heart. And so when they get older, it's going to be a lot harder to maintain that connected, strong relationship as they go through the more difficult, challenging teen years.
Beautifully explained. Yes, and I'm sure that moms listening and parents listening know that it's like your child can call you out on your own energy, and that is one of their gifts, because they bring us back to that heart space. They bring us back to looking at our own patterns, like you just described, Erica, and saying, okay, where can I elevate my energy in this situation? That is a great example, and I'm sure that many people can relate on some level to the fact that, you know, like you said, children have amazing gifts for us right now when we're really present with them and in the space.
Yeah, I had, it was a little bit ago, like one of my, you know, things I learned in my life is about really, you know, when things are scary or there's conflict in relationship or I'm upset, my, you know, my instinct is to kind of disconnect and run away. And I think that's very common for a lot of people. And I'll never forget, I was in a stressed place one, like this was maybe a year ago, and I was just frustrated and she was acting out a little bit, and I just was like, I just got to, you know, I started leaving the room. I go, I'm going to go center myself, basically. And she stopped, and she goes, Mommy, don't leave me. I love you. And it just was like a dagger in my heart of like, oh, wow, that is how I want to be. Like, she was so connected to being in that heart space that her number one goal is to connect on a heart level, even during conflict, whereas, you know, us that are older, a lot of us have learned those defense mechanisms or however we, you know, we grew up. And it was just that, and again, I was aware of that moment, even in my angst, to go, okay, I came right back to ground, and I said, you're right, and I said, thank you for that. And she taught me a huge lesson that day. And I think our children are so incredible that way. When we allow them the safety to be able to express and to share, the biggest gifts come.
That's an amazing story. That's powerful. You know, you have a lot of different ways you can, you know, work with parents or and how you support them. What specific tools have you found to be the most helpful in working with children, you know, that parents can use that really helps them get to the heart of an issue or something that's going on?
Well, like I said earlier, I think one of the things, when people, a lot of parents that aren't necessarily your listeners per se, but like generally speaking, a lot of parents come to me thinking, oh, great, I'm going to work with Erica and she's going to fix my child because my child is doing these things, I don't like it, and so let's get that going. And what can I do to help that child but ultimately fix the child? And all the work that I do is really focused on helping the parents grow. And so one of the tools, though, that I find, and when I was thinking of what to share with you and your listeners on the show, I thought this is a really fun and powerful tool that I use, and that is to actually use flower essences. Many of you may be familiar with the Bach flower essences or Rescue Remedies, one of the most popular products. I mean, I think it's even available at, like, you know, mainstream stores and all that. It's pretty common. And flower essences are a phenomenal tool that you can use with children and with yourself and with families to really help shift the dynamic that's going on. So I have a lot of fun with my clients when I recommend some essences that they use and then they start using them and they notice changes in themselves and in their children. So those are a lot of fun to use, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that here, but I love using them. They're a lot of fun, and the children really respond well to them because their energy is still so pure.
Yes, and there's something about it that feels playful and fun, and light. It just has a really inspiring feeling to me, and it's original. It's a great way to spark someone's curiosity about, you know, what is this and how does it work and what can it do for me, and it doesn't hurt, if you will. I mean, you think about things that we have to do to get to the heart of something. This is a way to get into an area that is very loving and safe.
Yeah, so those of you that, you may not know what flower essences are, so I'll tell you briefly, but what they are is they're basically vibrational remedies, sort of similar to homeopathy, where they're made from flowers, the vibrational essence of flowers. And what they do is they help to shift emotional and mental and spiritual aspects of our energy field. And I loved what you said at the beginning of the show, that you're a catalyst for consciousness change, because that's what flower essences really are, is they are actually catalysts to our own self-awareness and growth. The way that I like to describe them is, you know, and the way I like to describe them is they're kind of like a tune-up for your energy field and your aura, because, you know, those of us know that our emotions and everything going on with us can be felt in our energy field that extends, you know, a good 6-7 feet out from our bodies. And flower essences are safe. They don't interfere with anything. They will just help to accentuate the positive aspects of your own soul that is here to be expressed, because as we grow and as we go through life's day-to-day experiences, we sort of shut down parts of who we truly are, like our true inner being. So flower essences help us really connect to our higher self. And they're so much fun. I used to work at a homeopathic pharmacy, and I used to be responsible for all the flower essences and all the Orisoma color therapies and sort of the esoterics. And children would walk in, and they would bypass all the vitamins, bypass all the supplements, and then go right to the flower essences, and they'd be immediately drawn to them because, again, they can feel it, and they know that there's something there.
Wow, that is really cool to hear that you worked in an environment where you could observe them really physically being drawn to the flower essence. I think that is just a great visual, because I can imagine that there's something about them that feels very safe and loving. And I would love to know more, Erica, like more about this work, more about what you're offering, and, you know, how people can connect with you with this through the flower essences. So can you share with us any of your exclusive deals right now that you're giving listeners?
Absolutely. I think, you know, when I was so honored to be invited to be on your show, Molly, I wanted to do something for your listeners that I thought would be really fun and something cool that maybe they haven't experienced before. So what I wanted to offer you guys was that anybody who would send me a note, you can go to my actually on Molly's, I think the page for the radio show, you've probably there, but it'll take you to a link on my site where you can send me an email with your information and a quick comment. I apologize, it's kind of rudimentary technology right now because I'm redoing my website, but if you put in the subject line flower essence on the contact form on my site, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tune in and intuitively pull a flower essence that's coming up for your energy. And so I'll send you an email with which flower essence that came up for you, and then you can kind of, and then you'll see sort of what the themes are that are coming up around why that energy was present for you. And so I'm happy to offer that for free because I think it's a fun way for people to, you know, get introduced to the flower essences and get to understand how they work. And so that's something I'd love to do for you guys because it's so much fun, and I think I'd love to see people's eyes light up when they start to experience what these can really do for them.
That is great, Erica. Yes, and on the Blog Talk Radio show description, I'm not sure if it's showing up on the iTunes show description or not, but basically you click on that link and you go to consciousparents.org, and on that landing page there, you just click on the form and then send Erica your question or the issue, and then she'll respond with the flower. And I just want to reiterate that because it's pretty simple, and we want you to know that it's really easy. And then, Erica, you have some more things that people can discover in terms of in-depth consultations around their flower essence if they want more information from you.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I've also got on that page there with the information is if you want more of an in-depth flower essence consultation, I've got all the details there. We do it over the phone, and we chat a little bit about what's going on, and then what I can do is make the recommendations to you for the flower essences that I think would be appropriate for you, or you could also do it for a family as well, I also can create custom remedies for people that are blends and send them to you for additional cost if you want. You can always just go to the health food store and buy them as well. But I think that one of the best one of the best and fun things to do, especially with kids, is that a lot of times, like, anyway, so sorry to get back to the offer. I apologize. I went off on another thing. My cat just interrupted me. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I lost my train of thought.
No, it's okay. That's perfect, right? Because now you're drawing forward the energy of your loving cat who wants to participate in this conversation.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. She wants to on this show. And I'll have to say, so what I did for you, Molly, before the show is I actually pulled a flower for you for what was coming
that's
up for
fun.
You.
Okay.
Yeah, so, should I share what it was and talk about it a little bit, or would you rather I do that separately?
I don't know. Am I going to be embarrassed?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, it's not personal at all. I'm not giving away any secrets. Don't worry.
I'm happy. Let's share.
No, the flower of hornbeam came up. And that is a flower essence that's really supportive for people that are kind of really, really busy with a lot of priorities, and they're getting spread a little thin. And so I know at the beginning of the show you were chatting about your many amazing projects you have going on, so I can only imagine how busy you are. But I wanted to just share that is the flower that was coming up for you today. And I'll send you some information on more into it. But, you know, when I do these readings, I think what's important to understand is when a flower comes up for somebody, I do have some descriptions on the webpage that I did. I did this little fun exercise special for you guys on Molly's site where I put a bunch of pictures of flowers. One of the fun things you could do is you could look at those 9 flowers and just pick which one immediately calls to you the most. You know, don't think about it too much. Just kind of at first glance, which flower in that picture of 9 is calling to you. And then you can click through and actually read through the descriptions of what that flower represents and what it helps with. And so that's a lot of fun. That's a really fun way to start, you know, checking in with the flowers and what might be coming up. When you read the descriptions of the flowers and what they help with, it's important to know that just like with everything, the energy is either in balance or out of balance. So, for example, every flower essence represents a certain aspect of your soul, if you will. So, like, if something is in the negative of a flower, and that's what the descriptions that I have there are sort of something of, like, when it's out of balance in a person, that's kind of the traits that they exhibit. Now, it doesn't mean that that's what your character is and that's who you are as a person necessarily. It just means that's the energy that's coming up for you right now. It could be something related to you. It could be something related to a close family member. But the theme of that flower essence is something that's important as part of the growth process to really reflect on a little bit. So just know that the flower essence, it's just because the description might sound like, oh, it means that I'm a daydreamer and I'm you know, I'm just not connected to reality. That's like clematis is one of the flowers. And it doesn't mean that that's who you are necessarily, because on the positive side of clematis, when you use that essence, what it does is it helps to ground you in setting intentions and manifesting. So connecting your daydreams, your wishes, your visions to actually happening in your actual reality. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're on the negative side of it, but it means that that flower would be supportive in bringing about the positive aspects of that flower, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, and I find this fascinating. So then when when you draw or when you gravitate towards clematis for somebody in their reading, you are then recommending that they work with that flower essence, the essential oils, to balance out the energy. And it's as simple as working with the flower essence. And it's typically an oil, right? Is that correct?
Actually, no. And I'm so glad you brought that up because that is so confusing for people. So thank you because I didn't mention that earlier. So flower essences are actually different from essential oils. They're both made from plants. So essential oils extract the oil out of the actual plant itself. So it's highly concentrated, has all the, you know, I work with them a lot and I love essential oils. Flower essences are actually the way they're made, interestingly enough, is that the flowers are picked at the height of their blooming, and they're placed in a bowl of pure water in the sunshine. And what happens is over the course of that sunshine, the energy of the flower transmutes into the actual water, and then so the energy and the essence of the flower, the vibrational essence of the flower, because everything in the universe we know is vibration, right? We all know that everything
right.
is made of energy. So the flowers have a particular energy and sort of a special signature imprint of what they're, I mean, plants and, like, there's remedies for everything in all of nature. It's so amazingly beautiful. But so that essence, that vibration of the flower's imprint gets put into the water, and then they're put into these little bottles that are preserved usually with water and a teensy bit of brandy. So they're actually, they don't taste like essential oils. Essential oils, if you ever adjust them, which I wouldn't recommend unless you're using very specific brands, but that's another conversation. But so there's no real taste to that, and you can dilute it. There's certain ways that you can use flower essences. You can mist them around you. You can put drops under your tongue. When I create special dosage bottles for people, like the special blends, I'll put just a couple drops of the actual essence with purified water. And so it's mostly water, but it's still got the brandy is the preservative that retains the vibrational remedy. So it sort of like keeps the energy alive, if you will, in the bottle. So they're
okay.
not like oils. Yeah, so you could actually create, like, they're so fun to use. You can use them, like, I've had teachers that have a restless, my daughter was in daycare after school, and one of the teachers was like, oh, my gosh, the kids are just all over the map today. And I said, I gave her a bottle of this blend of essences that are supposed to be a very calming effect. And I said, next time the kids are being all crazy, just mist this around the room, because you can act, the energy that you mist out will shift the energy of a space as well. It's not just for the person. And you wouldn't believe this. Oh, my gosh, I use it every day, and the kids are so calm now. Like, they'll lie down for nap time, no problem. And
you can use them
in so many ways. Yes, and you can use them with animals. You can mist them on your pillow before you go to bed. Or if your child's having a hard time with nightmares, you can get a flower essence and then mist it on their pillow before they go to bed. I mean, there's so much you can do. And they're so helpful and so safe. You can use them with babies. You can use them with animals. I mean, we could talk for 2 days about how to use them, but in general, that's how they're used. You can, you know, drop them on your wrist. You don't have to necessarily ingest them under your tongue.
Okay, great. Thank you for explaining that, because I guess I was making that assumption that it was like an essential oil, but that's great to know that the misting, I think, is such a lovely, non-intrusive use of the energy. That's a great idea. You can mist anywhere, as you explained. It's very easy to do in daycares and home and all these in the car. Okay, well, we are running out of, we just have a few minutes left, and I wanted to let people know, Erica, do you have any other programs or any other ways people can connect with you if they want to reach out or if they need some more support based on what we've covered in today's show?
Absolutely. So I'm in the process of redoing my website. So those of you that are going to go to my website right now, it's in its infancy stages, and it's going to be changing. So you can definitely connect with me on my Facebook page, which is consciousparents.org. You can join my email list, which you can do from the homepage of my website. And I send out video, like parenting audio video blogs and tips, and you'll get announcements on when new things are coming up. And I do have a parenting program called Cultivating Conscious Children, and that is a program that is available now, and it's really designed for parents of younger children up to around age 7 or 8, and it's all about how do we raise children who are peer pressure and bully-proofed. And quickly, the way that came out was I basically asked parents, I said, what's the number one thing that keeps you up at night? Because I wanted to know how I could best serve families, because I have a bunch of different skill sets, as you know, and I didn't want to create a program that I wanted to create. I wanted to create a program that parents most wanted. And that's what came up was, how do I raise my child so that they're not vulnerable to peer pressure and bullying when they're older? And so I have a whole program, which is audios and PDFs and webinars and videos that you can look at through the website. I think, Molly, you have the link there. But that's another way. And I work with families one-on-one and a bunch of different ways. But through the website and through the contact form is the best way to get a hold of me now, because that'll come directly to an email box that I manage. So would love to, you know, see how I can help support any of you guys.
Wonderful. This has been such a great conversation, Erica. Thank you so much for sharing all of this information, plus your free offer to help people get to the heart of any issues that are coming up right now. I really appreciate your time and everything you've shared with us. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me on and chatting about this. I was so excited to come on and, you know, share this aspect of the work that I do, because I think your audience in particular will really, they're already on this path, and I'm so excited to be able to just kind of open up and share some of these things with your amazing audience. So thank you.
Yes, well, thank you, because I think that it's mutual and that this wonderful audience needs to know that they have support for this area of their life. So it's a win-win-win all around. Think that, you know, we'll have more to talk about in the spring and such. So everyone, please check out Erica's website. She is on Facebook. She's also on Twitter and other social media accounts. So connect with her anywhere that is comfortable for you. And I hope that you've all enjoyed this show today. It's been a very fast hour, but it's been wonderful.
Yep.
And be sure and check out Erica's generous free offer. If you need to find that link, again, it's on the Blog Talk Radio show page. It's also on my website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. You can find the blog post that describes this show, and you can click through to that link. So thank you, everyone, for being here. Thanks again, Erica.
Thanks, Molly. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks, everyone. Talk to you later and see you next week. Take good care. Bye-bye.